Washington, D.C. This is Warbird Radio.
Our thanks to Ezel Aviation for generously supporting Warbird Radio. To find out more, visit them online at EzelAviation.com. That's EzelAviation.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio. If you're interested in scale models, join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern for interviews and the latest news and events in RC Scale. The RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
They say that size doesn't matter, but we all know that's a lie. Size always matters when you're talking about trucks or that steak that you ate last night. Don't fall for those cheap gimmicks or stupid commercials. If you want to increase your size, do it the old-fashioned way. Get yourself some man tires. That's right, man tires. A good set of man tires can change any wussy wagon into a respectable man-mobile in minutes. Just visit MyManTires.com and see what you've been missing. That's MyManTires.com. Men, the time is now. Log on to MyManTires.com and tell them you want some of them man tires. Man tires, the original male enhancement. Available now, only on MyManTires.com.
Hi, this is J.R. Williams, president of the League of World War I Aviation Historians. I'm inviting you to join us the week of January 24th through 28th for World War I Aviation Week on Warbird Radio Live each morning at 10 a.m. You will be hearing from members of the League who will discuss and answer questions about a number of interesting subjects from the aviation history of the Great War. For more information, check the Warbird Radio website. Please join us for what will be a fascinating week of programs.
You're strapped in. To Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
And good evening, and welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and today is Tuesday, January 11th, 2011. I'm glad you could be here with us tonight, whether you're listening live or you're listening to the podcast. We're glad you could be here. Tonight we got a very special guest. Mr. Graham Mears is joining us. You all may know Graham as a Top Gun competitor. He's a prolific builder, scratch builder, and competitor. So we thought we'd get him on the show tonight and try and pick his brain a little bit and see if we can find out how he's become so successful in this hobby, and maybe talk a little bit about getting into competition. But Graham, I want to take a minute and thank you for coming to the show tonight.
You're very welcome, Mike.
We're really glad to have you, someone of your experience and caliber, and it's a real honor to have you here, my friend.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, we'll get started. Let's get started into this, folks. If you would like to join in on the discussion tonight, or if you have a question for Graham, you can contact us several ways. You can give us a call at 478-787-4768, or if you have Skype, you can simply Skype us at Warbird Radio, or you can shoot us an email. Just send an email out to us at live, L-I-V-E, at rcscalebuilder.com. Well, I tell you, Graham, for the one or two people out there who may not know who you are, why don't you give us a little introduction and background about yourself and maybe tell us how you got started in this hobby.
Well, I'm sort of getting on now. I just turned 70 years old, so I've been around for quite a while. I was born in New Zealand, and pretty well pre-teen, I was very interested in models of any kind. And as a young person, I had a rather extensive model train setups at one point. And then into my teens, I got into U-Control or Control Line back in New Zealand. Well, I got married in my early 20s and came to Canada 42 years ago. In the years prior to my getting into RC scale, I built a couple of galleon ships, and that's what I used to do for therapy, I guess.
Yeah.
So I have been a model builder all my life, and I've sort of been honing my skills at one type of hobby or the other. I'm possessed with a fascination with anything that's a miniature of a real one, and my obsession is kind of taken to the nth degree, and I'm obsessed with detail. So I've been honing my skills now for about 60 years, and that's a little bit of my background.
Well, it certainly has paid off, obviously. Why don't you tell? I know you wouldn't tell this to them yourself, but I'm going to squeeze you a little bit here and make you tell people about some of your successes at Top Gun. Can you tell a few people about a couple of your wins there?
I've been competing at Top Gun now. The first time was 1995. I happened to have built what other people thought was a good-looking yellow aircraft, P-38, and Bob Fiorenzi, you might know that name, who was a previous winner of Top Gun, had seen it and became a friend of mine, and he asked if I'd be interested in competing with it. So we competed with it at some other events before 95, and then he said, well, we seem to do pretty well in it. Would I be interested in going into Team Scale in 95 with him? And so, of course, I didn't turn him down. my first time there, we came in with a fourth place. So I've done very well right from the beginning.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because that's what I think a lot of people are interested in. But before we get into that, folks, if you'd like to join in the discussion, just give us a call at 478-787-4768. Skype us at Warbird Radio, or shoot us an email at live@rcscalebuilder.com, and we'd love to have you join in here. We're already starting to get some emails in, Graham, so we'll get to these in a minute.
Okay.
But you know, one thing I wanted to kind of bring up was one thing that fascinates me about you and your models is the level of detail that you go to on these things. You know, I'm just kind of what I like to call a casual competitor. I go to one or two contests a year, but most of my time is spent just at fly-ins with, you know, hanging out, having fun. So it amazes me to be able to talk to someone like you. And what I would like to know, and I'm sure most of our listeners would like to know, is how do you attain that level of detail? And just the sheer volume of it amazes me on your models, you know. And obviously, you've got many, many hours tied up in these detailing them. And do you have a systematic way that you attack this part of the finishing process?
Well, there are two kinds of models that I build, and over the last 5 years, I retired in 2003, and I really was not looking for opportunities to become a professional builder, but opportunities came my way. So I started contracting to build aircraft for other people. Now, prior to that, the aircraft that I built for myself were generally scratch-built rag-covered aircraft. Like, I had a Tiger Moth that was almost third scale that did very well at Top Gun for a number of years. Then I built one of my favorite airplanes is the Super Cub, and I built several of those at third scale. So there's that kind of finishing that's required, and that's the fabric with all the stitching, the surface taping.
Mm-hmm.
And then more recently, I think what I've become noted for is the fact of the detail on mostly jets that I've been building for the last 5 years. And I've built maybe 6 or 8 or 10 jets plus a Corsair. And I've really perfected an art, really, of making the surface detail look as though it shrunk down and put on a model. And quite frankly, I'm obsessed with getting it right.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lot of time. And I just persevere at it until it's finished, and to my satisfaction.
Right. I'll tell you.
I could go into more detail if you want me to sort of carry on. But.
Well, I tell you what. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about maybe doing some instructional videos on that? Or?
Well, I spent 40 years in the motion picture industry. And
there you go.
I have been, I know Dave Platt has done very well with the videos he's done,
mm-hmm.
Black Art and so on. And but quite frankly, I've had so much work come my way that I really, when I look at it, I just really don't have enough hours in the day to manage. Because it's not as though someone can be there and spend a couple of days and then I can knock it off. It doesn't work like that.
Right, right, right. Well, please keep that in mind for all of our benefits. I know I would appreciate it.
Maybe when I don't have any more projects, I could think about that, is it?
Like that would ever happen, right?
Well, who knows?
I hear you. You know, I think a lot of us know about some of your models from Top Gun, such as the beautiful F-16. That's just an incredible piece of work. But what are some of your favorite models that you've built in the past? What type of aircraft that you modeled that you probably enjoyed the most?
Well, I think the model that I built. Well, let me first start at a different place.
Okay.
I got into I was actually divorced in the 80s, and I about 5 years, I was looking around for something to be interested in, and about 1987, I heard about a local flying radio control club, which cut a long story short, I joined. And I built a Goldberg trainer, Eagle trainer, and learned to fly. And then sort of immediately, because of my fascination with scale stuff, I got into scale RC work. I guess for about 5, 6, 7, 8 years, I built either from kits or plans. And then I started scratch building from plans. Mm. And I was always fascinated with the idea of building a model at around third scale, exactly like a real aircraft was built. So this kind of festered in my mind until about 96, 97, I guess. And I got the idea that I would try to see if it was possible to build a WACO with UPF, UF-7. So I did all this research required. I tried to find materials, tubing, and I found probably that stainless steel tubing was the best. Anyway, cut a long story short, after doing all the weight analysis, I figured out that it was feasible. So I went to and drew plans for that airplane, and probably the airplane I'm most proud of was this 30% WACO UPF-7, which had a seven-cylinder radial engine. Anyone that's interested, if you friend me on Facebook, you can see some pictures of the construction of that.
Yeah.
So that was finished about 98, and it was flown in 99. I intended to have it at Top Gun that year, but we had a little mishap during practice, so I had to pull out the Tiger Moth, the Old Faithful, and compete with that again.
Yeah.
The airplane was eventually, I think, only flew it about 10 times and eventually was picked up by a collector. So it now rests in Pennsylvania somewhere with a collector.
Gotcha. Well, hey, we got a couple of email questions in. You feel like answering a few questions?
Right, let's try.
Okay. I'm going to combine two here because they both are basically asking the same question here. One is from Simon in Australia, and the other is from Randy Tigg, and they both want to know, one of them wants to know They're talking about rivets, adding rivets to your model. Okay. One wants to know what the easiest way is, kind of a blanket question. The other wants to know how you achieve your flush rivets on your finish. Can you just kind of talk a little bit about your thoughts about rivets and maybe how you like to do them?
Okay, well, there are two different kinds of rivets, as right. You know. There's dome rivets and flush rivets. The dome rivets I normally do with RC56, or it's called something else now.
Mm-hmm.
But that product, which is basically a white glue, and I use a hypodermic needle of quite fine hypodermic needle. That's the way most of the modelers do that kind of riveting that I know of. However, the flush rivets, what I use is I started off way back when I had the P38 using a brass tube with a soldering iron with a voltage control, so you control. What I found over the years that looked rather authentic on an airplane that was kind of a World War II warbird that had done some service.
Mm-hmm.
As I have gotten to do work for customers, now the three F-16s that I built were built for customers. I was honored to be able to compete with them at Top Gun until they disallowed people that were sponsored or to compete. Anyway, that's another story. And this particular customer really liked pristine aircraft. So the three that were chosen over a period of 3 years was the two Thunderbirds. I did number one and number five, and then the last one was the Aggressor. Now, all of these aircraft were fairly pristine. They didn't have blistered paint or paint that was chipped off to any great degree. So the kit that I used was Scale Jets. F-16 one-fifth scale from Marion Penix in the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. And there is a certain amount of rivet detail to put into the mold. However, what I found that during the painting process, the little divots or the rivets would get filled with paint. So all of those airplanes, I went completely over every rivet on the whole project. And what I use is it's kind of a genesis of how I developed this, but I'm using little tungsten carbide cutters, which are like a micro fly cutter, if you know what a fly cutter is, that
yeah.
you use on a milling machine.
Mm-hmm.
So they're tiny little fly cutters, and I vary the speed of them depending on the effect that I need, and I have made several different sizes of them for the different kinds of size flush rivets.
Huh.
Now, I did a Corsair, and the Corsair had a lot of, it was a restored Corsair, and I did a lot of the surface detail over on that, and where there was Deuce fasteners or Phillips head fasteners, I actually cut out little silver discs because they were not painted. They were not painted on the full scale that was copied.
Hmm.
And I have my own vinyl cutter, which I was able to cut these on. So out of silver vinyl, these little tiny discs were cut and put on. They were also different sizes for the Deuce or the Phillips fasteners.
Mm-hmm.
And I got Promark to make me little X's to put on each one of those, so you can see it's a lot of work, but you know it pays off, and if you don't go put in that much effort, then you sort of will fall short of the detail.
Oh yeah, you know it's amazing to me the models that I've built in the past. You know, you can always tell someone new to this hobby because when they're building, because they get their airplane, you know, framed up and sheeted and maybe even glassed. And they're like, well, I'm almost finished. And I learned real fast that you're not even 50%, through at that time. That's the easy part. You're through with at that point. But yeah, well, that's great. That's good information. I appreciate you sharing.
I just hope the explanation sort of makes sense to whoever was looking for the information.
And we had another question from Thomas in Virginia. Now, you know, Dino, I'm going to go ahead and warn you. Dino told me that I was to ask you any documentation questions. So, that you were the go-to man for that. So, here's one from, Thomas in Virginia. He wants to know what advice you would give to someone who is building a documentation package for a model that only 3 black and white photos of the actual aircraft being modeled have been found, and which happens to be, the aircraft happens to have damage in those photos. How would you handle a situation like that?
Well, I don't know how to answer that question because I'm going to answer it in a different way, and maybe this will help because I really don't know how to give someone like that advice.
Right.
But I'll try. Let me try and tell you my philosophy.
Okay.
I built that fabulous Tiger Moth, which was on, I think, 7 or 8 magazine covers over the years, and it was twice a winner at Top Gun, and then it came a second. It got a whole bunch of other trophies. We were twice at first with it when Dave Patrick was pilot for me at the U.S. Scale Masters. But I built that from a kit, sort of a semi-kit and plans from England. Then I tried to get the documentation for it. Well, that airplane never really did very well in the static judging, in my opinion. It was in, like, I think 1 year it did a 98, which I guess is very good. But the reason that I've been able to get 99 point something and once at Top Gun 100% is that over the last 10 years or more, I have not tackled a project unless I go and photograph the airplane myself, measure it and everything. And then I also try my best, it's not always possible, but I try my best to get photographs of the airplane, the top and the bottom of it, which you have to do, obviously, in a knife edge pass. The reason that the second Thunderbird got the 100% was, first of all, it was a second crack at basically the same airplane except for the number on it. So I was able to improve on the first time around, but I asked the judges only to judge the airplane from the photographs and not from the 3 views. So that's my kind of philosophy. Now I want to go on and say that it's I always feel that it's a shame that people, model builders, will put a lot of time into an airplane that is their passion, and it's very difficult to document. Mm-hmm. So if you do that, I'm not saying don't do that, because you should be building something that you're enthusiastic about, but you're really behind the eight ball with the documentation.
Yeah.
And if you, for me, if I want to do well with the documentation, documenting the airplane and then building the airplane to the documentation, there's really no other way but what I've explained here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're absolutely right about that. You know, that's, you know, you're already at a disadvantage, so why put yourself in a deeper hole, you know?
Yeah, I had the same problem with my P-38 because I built that. I was passionate about the airplane. I still love the P-38 and Mustangs and those kind of airplanes. And I built the airplane because I loved the airplane. Then I tried to find the documentation. Then I found a picture of the one I really wanted to do. It was Mama's Boy. And it was very difficult to get good documentation for it. And consequently, that airplane, I mean, was only average in the static scoring.
Gotcha. Well, let's see. Are there any new projects coming up that you're working on, or that you've got in your head that maybe you're ready to talk about, or maybe not?
Well, I've got my hands full right now with an aircraft for the World Jet Masters coming up this summer in Dayton, Ohio. It's a T-33 from the same person that built the F-16s, scalejets.com, their website. These are produced by a Marion Penix. It's more of a garage operation. It's a very small business, but he is very adamant about the accuracy of the outline and all the panel lines on any airplane that he comes out with. The F-16s cannot be faulted by any outline judges, and so he's come out with a T-33, and it seems to be very accurate. So that's what I'm working on right now. I've also got on the go an L-39 from Skygate Collection. This is a big 1 to 4.5 scale L-39. It's going to be in an Australian. It's an Australian air. Let me rephrase that. It's an aircraft that's in Australia in a camo scheme somewhere on the coast just north of Sydney, I believe.
Interesting. Well, that T-33, that's a pretty bird. I like that. So that's
it's
a good
going to be another Thunderbird, by the way.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. Can't wait to see that. That's going to be nice.
It's starting to get painted.
Well, let me ask you just a quick question here. I like to ask all the competitors that come on the show, what basic advice would you give someone wanting to get into competition on how to get started?
Well, if you're a good pilot and a good builder, you just have to get your feet wet. And you have to rub shoulders with people like myself and try and learn as much as you can. And then you have to just start somewhere.
Right.
The advice I'd give is I've seen a lot of guys over the years that cannot take the criticism of judges. And if you cannot absorb the criticism and make the adjustments or make the corrections and learn from it, and maybe you shouldn't be in a scale competition, because it's really, when you're starting off, it's the school of hard knocks. There's no two ways about that. I've had almost 20 years in scale competition, and I've tried to learn and build on what I've learned by looking at the critiquing of the documentation, and then learning even though I don't fly my own airplanes, learning a lot about the flying of it and the way that it should be flown in front of the judges, and all those kind of aspects of the that discipline in the hobby.
That's some good advice. Absolutely. One other thing I like to ask my guest that comes on here is, our hobby is changing quite a bit with the advent of ARFs and new radio systems and lower price park flyers. It's changed quite a bit. Where do you see our facet of the hobby, the skill building side, where do you see that going in the next 10 years or so? Do you see any big changes in it, or? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, unfortunately, it seems that it's the age of instant gratification. And even when I tell people, like model builders, for example, the extent I go to get surface detail right, they just take a big breath, deep breath, and then it's like, oh, my God, no. You know, it's just too much work for a lot of people.
Yeah.
However, I'm not quite sure where it's going. I hope this craftsmanship is not dying, but I know that at Top Gun, there's a fall off in the categories where it's extensively and critically judged in terms of the static.
Right.
It's very popular in the pro-am Pro-Am Pro and Pro-Am Sport, because you've just got to have an airplane that looks like a scale airplane and have a picture of it. But the guys that are doing the precision building, unfortunately, seem to be coming rare. It's just the way things are going. Maybe there's going to be a lot of better pilots, but not the same scale.
Well, you know, I think that people like yourself exposing this information that of how you do things and your thoughts about these things on places like this radio show and on our website and other venues, you know, I think that goes a long way in getting people interested. You know, I tell you, Graham, my personal thought on this is a lot of people do not like ARFs who are very dedicated builders, but I think ARFs have actually saved our hobby somewhat. And I'm starting to see a trend from my site. I'm starting to see a trend where guys are coming over who have built a few ARFs, and now they're ready to try building a kit, you know?
Yeah. It gets someone into the hobby quicker, that's for sure. Because when I got into the hobby, there was no way except you had to build your own trainer.
Right.
And so you had to be into building to some degree. A lot of guys weren't, you know, couldn't even be interested in that. And you're right. I mean, there's a lot more people flying, that's for sure. Whether, you know, just talking about the scale builders, that's where I have a concern about. And quite honestly, I mean, I'm getting on in years. I feel an obligation of passing on, you know, the tricks that I've learned to really enthusiastic up-and-coming people. I feel an obligation that I shouldn't go to my grave with all that I've learned. It should be passed on so other people can learn the crafts.
Absolutely. You know, we're all stewards of this hobby, and you know, someone in most cases, someone helped us get started. So I think we all need to remember that and pass that information on that we've learned to new people. And
exactly.
So, you know, it's like we're talking about the day I called you about this show. You know, it's all about having fun, right?
Oh, if it's not fun, it's time to get find someone else to interest you. You know, it's. But you know, honestly, I mean, I've got friends all around the world. It's the greatest hobby that anyone could ever be in, because it's a healthy outdoor activity and it's got the very creative side. And there's no time for this hobby that has ever been better, because with the materials we've got to use now and the reliability of the radio and electronic equipment and all the gadgets, I mean, it's just absolutely phenomenal.
Absolutely. Well, hey, before we wrap up, you know, Dino announced on the show last week that you guys were going to be competing in team scale together. You know, did you hit your head or something? I mean,
yeah. Well, I've known Dino for a lot of years, and I knew his dad well, and it was so sad when his dad went passed away from us. And over all those years, Dino and I never really got to compete together. So this is sort of the opportunity that sort of just fell in my lap. It's not that I've had a falling out with David Shulman, but what has happened is that Top Gun is going to be flown off grass coming to this year, 2011. And we really could not get the jet that we had chosen to fly off the grass ready, and that was the L-39. There's been a holdup of some of the components from the manufacturer. So this is just my backup plan. I'm sure David will be there, and we'll be hanging out together. So we're still the best of friends.
Well, that's great. You know, I want to wish you guys the best of luck. Dean's a good friend of mine, and we're good buddies also. And I think you two are definitely a winning combination. So.
Well, I hope you're right.
Yeah, I hope so too. Well, look, Graham, I want to take a minute and thank you for coming on the show. And I really enjoyed talking with you tonight. It was a real pleasure. And I know our listeners did too. I can't believe we didn't get any calls, but we definitely got some emails in tonight. So I'm sure that the questions will start flying when people start listening to the podcast. So maybe we can get you back another time and we can talk some more about competition.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, that'd be great.
It'd be my pleasure.
Well, thank you so much. And, folks, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll have our good buddy Alan Yendall here to talk about our subject-seeking segment. And once again, thanks a lot, Graham. And we'll be talking to you soon, pal.
Okay.
Thank you. All right,
bye
folks. We'll be right back.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Our thanks to Ezel Aviation for generously supporting Warbird Radio. To find out more, visit them online at EzelAviation.com. That's EzelAviation.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio. If you're interested in scale models, join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern for interviews and the latest news and events in RC Scale. The RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
They say that size doesn't matter, but we all know that's a lie. Size always matters when you're talking about trucks or that steak that you ate last night. Don't fall for those cheap gimmicks or stupid commercials. You want to increase your size, do it the old-fashioned way. Get yourself some man tires. That's right, man tires. A good set of man tires can change any wussy wagon into a respectable man-mobile in minutes. Just visit mymantires.com and see what you've been missing. That's mymantires.com. Men, the time is now. Log on to mymantires.com and tell them you want some of them man tires. Man tires, the original male enhancement. Available now, only on mymantires.com.
Hi, this is J.R. Williams, president of the League of World War I Aviation Historians. I'm inviting you to join us the week of January 24th through 28th for World War I Aviation Week on Warbird Radio Live each morning at 10 a.m. You will be hearing from members of the League who will discuss and answer questions about a number of interesting subjects from the aviation history of the Great War. For more information, check the Warbird Radio website. Please join us for what will be a fascinating week of programs.
You're strapped in. Radio. Tune in. Take off.
And good evening, and welcome back to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and gosh, we're glad you're here with us tonight. I don't know about where you're at, but here in the sunny deep south, it's really cold tonight. So it's good to curl up here and with a good cup of coffee and talk to you guys some. I want to welcome our good friend Alan Yendall back. How are you doing tonight, Alan?
I'm doing fine, Mike. How are you?
You know, I'm doing great. I had a great holiday. I hope you and your family did. And you know. I wanted to make sure that you guys had a good one. Everything good?
Oh yeah,
good over
we had a great time, and you know, I'm just thinking the last time I was on, you got me to follow Dave Matheson. Now I have to follow Graham Mears. I mean, that's a pretty tough deal. You know?
But you know, you're up to the challenge. I know you are.
We'll see.
So, what do you have for us tonight, Alan?
Well, you know. Not a lot of talking on this one. I've got a lot of hyperlinks, as you know, which we've got there. But this particular aircraft was designed in Russia, and it's not been modeled very often. I saw one at the Jonal maybe 10, 12 years ago, and I think it would be a great model, but it is a challenge. Now, it can be built as a military or a civilian version. It can be built with wheels and floats and skis, any way you want. First flown in 1947, it was in production with many variants until 1959. The Russians, who designed it, built some 5,000 units. Poland built almost 13,000 units. And it was also built under license in China with a different name. I could type it, but I sure couldn't pronounce it. It's all metal, and it has the achievement of being the world's biggest single-engine biplane. That may give you all a clue.
Yeah.
It's an Antonov AN-2. It was designed initially as a light utility transport, but it was used for many other purposes: crop dusting, air ambulance, firefighter, parachute jumping, on and on and on. But two of the many versions were unusual and worth just a few words. One version was designed for high-altitude weather reporting, and it had a second fully enclosed cockpit built directly ahead of the tail fin for the weather observer. And one of these airplanes reached a record height for its weight class of 36,900 feet. Wow. Another one, which is really pretty unusual, it appears that way back in the 50s, the CIA allegedly
Let's see here.
And apparently we've lost Alan and Mike here for the RC Skill Builder Show. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have both of them back with us in just a few moments. Stay tuned. You're listening to Warbird Radio and the RC Skill Builder Show right here on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Stay with us.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Our thanks to Ezel Aviation for generously supporting Warbird Radio. To find out more, visit them online at EzelAviation.com. That's EzelAviation.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Skill Builder Show here on Warbird Radio. If you're interested in scale models, join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern for interviews and the latest news and events in RC Skill. The RC Skill Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
They say that size doesn't matter, but we all know that's a lie. Size always matters when you're talking about trucks or that steak that you ate last night. Don't fall for those cheap gimmicks or stupid commercials. You want to increase your size, do it the old-fashioned way. Get yourself some man tires. That's right, man tires. A good set of man tires can change any wussy wagon into a respectable man-mobile in minutes. Just visit mymantires.com and see what you've been missing. That's mymantires.com. Men, the time is now. Log on to mymantires.com and tell them you want some of them man tires. Man tires, the original male enhancement. Available now, only on mymantires.com.
And we're back. Sorry about that, folks. Looks like we had a little technical glitch there.
Alan, hey, Mike, there was a sort of ding-dong noise, and everything went dead.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt your segment. Let's continue on with it.
All right. Well, I'm not quite sure where we got to, but anyway, one of these was designed as a balloon interceptor, and it had a turbocharged engine, and they fixed up a gun turret and a searchlight mounted on the top of the rear fuselage so they could shoot down the spy balloons. Anyway, back to something rather even more unusual. It's a stall aircraft, and it has no stalling speed shown in the pilot's handbook. It's a most unusual airplane. What I'm going to read you now is a note in the pilot's handbook, and this is verbatim translated into English, obviously.
Okay.
And it says, if the engine should fail in blind flying conditions or at nighttime, the pilot should keep the wings level and pull the column fully back. It will not stall. At 40 miles an hour, the leading edge slats will deploy. The speed will then drop to about 25 miles an hour, and the aircraft will slowly sink at that speed until it reaches the ground.
Wow.
Now, of course, that assumes that it's not above a mountain or something or the other, but the fact that the thing can't stall is just amazing.
Yeah.
The slats in the front are held in place by air pressure above 40 miles an hour, and below that they were extended by rubber springs. So it really was a sort of rubber band aeroplane. It has four flaps on the lower wing. On the top wing, the whole of the trailing edge is either ailerons or flaps, together with full-span leading edge slats. So one way or another, it has a lot of moving parts in the wing, and that, of course, would certainly make it a challenge to build, but it would, I think it'd be fun.
Oh, yeah.
It pilots of the aircraft have actually stated that it can be flown under complete control as slowly as 30 miles an hour, and with a headwind of more than that, it can actually travel backwards while still under full control.
Wow.
It's amazing. Many years ago, I went to I used to go regularly to the Shuttleworth Museum in the UK, and I saw one demonstrated. Takeoff was a roll of about three aircraft lengths, and it just rose up and flew away. There was no getting the tail up. In fact, it didn't take off. My view was that it just levitated from the three-point position and just flew off.
That's neat. That's really neat. Isn't there one of those in Texas?
There's a few around. I haven't found one in Texas, but there may be one. I think the only one that I know about, I think, is in Florida. I think Fantasy of Flight has one.
I got you. Okay.
It's a big airplane. At a six scale, you'd be looking at a wingspan of 120 inches.
Wow.
And you've got a lot of hyperlinks for videos and some very nice set of photographs.
Absolutely.
Just winding up, if perhaps we can, on RC plans or kits. I don't think there's any RC kits. If there is, I don't know about it. But a long time ago, there was some scale plans at 1/8, which were drawn up by a gentleman called Lewis Pancoast.
Okay.
And I have a set of these, and they were described as sport scale. And I don't know whether these are still available.
Yeah.
But I do have four pages of very detailed drawings, and on those, all of the wording is either in Russian or Polish, and I can't tell which. But I compared these with the, quote, sport scale plans, and all I have to say, to be kind, is that it might be the understatement of the year.
I understand.
Right, but what I'm having done right now is I sent those four views to an architect who is going to do the basic outlines of them into a CAD format. It won't be an RC plan as such, but it will be very authentic four-view set of plans, which I hope to have shortly. And, okay. And I'm very tempted to have a try at one of those, but not immediately. Maybe next year.
Yeah. Okay. Well, super. That's an interesting subject, and it's really odd that you haven't seen more of them, because it looks like it would be a fabulous flying model, you know.
Well, I think it would. It is complicated, but I think it gives you some options. I mean, first of all, it doesn't have retracts, which is always a plus for me, as you know. But if you're not going to go into scale competition or something or the other, I think you could build it and just omit the leading edge slats, or not have them work, or just fake them or something. But also, you could go the whole hog if you wanted, and I think it would be just a fascinating subject to build. It's obviously incredibly stable.
Yeah. Well, that's neat, Alan. That's a nice subject, and I don't think very many people think about that airplane, although, as you said, quite a few of them were manufactured. you know. And
There's a huge number. I mean, there's something like there's over 18,000 of the full scale that were made.
Right, right. Well, that's neat. Well, look, I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight, and you'll be back, in like 3 weeks, three weeks, and with another subject, right?
Yeah, I've got to start thinking about that now. It's hard to find one. You know, I try to stay away from the kit that and a plane that everybody else has built. I'm trying to find something that's interesting and you don't see too often.
Yeah.
And I have a couple of ideas. I'll be back with you at your pleasure in 3 weeks or so.
That sounds great. Well, thanks a lot for coming on the show, and glad you guys had a great holiday.
Yeah, it's cold here, too. It's
it is, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's good. You know, you need to have, when we're down here, we need to have it get below freezing sometimes. It kills off all those bugs for the summer.
Yeah, it makes us appreciate summer, isn't it?
Absolutely.
All right, Alan. Well, thanks again.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
All right, folks. That was Alan Yendall, and we'll be posting the information he sent me on the AN2. If you're interested in researching it on the information thread on this episode on the RC Scale Builder Show forum. I guess it's time for trivia. Matt, would you like to come in and join me for the trivia segment of the show?
Oh, I'd be happy to, Michael. How are you tonight, sir? Good show, by the way.
Yeah, great. You know, I'm just overloaded with all this great information tonight.
You've had some good ones on, some lightweights, as we like to
say. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I have to bring this up because I said to you like last week, I said, didn't Graham build a tiger moth?
He did.
And remember what you told me?
I thought you were talking about someone
you
else.
You thought I was talking about someone else. Yeah. Just for the record, I pay attention. Anyway.
Glad someone does around here.
No, but I think that's great. I think that's great that he did that. I just remember that airplane from, you know, reading all the magazines and stuff like that over the years. It's so cool to get to hear these guys come on and talk about this stuff on your show. Because, you know, these were giants growing up. And hearing about this, it's so cool to hear about it. So thanks for having me. I appreciate your show.
Well, you know, they make the show, not me.
They absolutely do.
Well, look, let's kick off our trivia.
You ready to give away some glue?
Yeah, folks, we've got a bottle of Zap Medium and a bottle of Zap Thin and an Aero Cinema Preview DVD.
Does the audio work?
Yes, it does.
Okay, good. Just check
it. Does. And it looks like the tonight's trivia question is pretty darn simple.
Okay, let's hear it.
So, everybody get your web browsers up and go to Google.
Go to Google. Get ready.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Tonight's Meister Trivia question.
Meister Scale Trivia question.
That's right. Okay. Brought to you by Meister Scale. Right.
There you go. And Dino DiGiorgio.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The P-38 Lightning was one of the U.S.'s most famous fighters during World War II. Mm-hmm. What was the date of the P-38's maiden flight?
Can I take a guess?
Once again, what was the date of the P-38's maiden flight? I need the date.
1938? Just taking a guess.
Yeah, the year and the date. So.
Am I close?
Nope. No. You're close.
I am.
You're close.
Yeah, okay.
So if you know the answer to this question, give us a call at 478-787-4768, Skype us at Warbird Radio, or email us at live@rcscalebuilder.com. And if you've already won, please give other folks a chance to win. So keep that in mind, because we have a large number of listeners tonight, and I'm sure someone out there needs a couple of bottles of glue.
Cold listeners tonight, Mike. It's snowing right now. I'm looking out the window. It's still snowing.
You know.
Crazy. Crazy snow out here tonight.
Don't get me started on this.
Turn the heat up in here. It's getting cold. Anyway, just drink more whiskey. That's what I need to do.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Keep the whiskey coming. So
so let's see. While we're waiting on that, we got a couple of events coming up. Mine and your favorite event, the 2011 Southeastern Model Show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In Perry, Georgia. That's March 4th and 5th.
I'm seriously thinking about flying down there for that.
That would be so. You could land right there at the fairgrounds.
I could land close to it.
No, I think you should land on it.
Just show up.
I mean, you know.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. There's a model field right behind there now.
There is.
There is. There's a model field right behind the Perry Fairgrounds now. So,
well, you know, you can slip right in there. All you need is what, about 600 feet or so?
600 feet, yeah. Nothing to it.
And then, of course, we got the 2011 Blue Max event coming up April 15th through 17th at the Fantasy of Flight Museum in Polk City, Florida.
Sponsored in part by the League of World War One Aviation Historians.
And RCScaleBuilder.com.
And RCScaleBuilder.com, two of my favorite organizations. There you go.
That's right. So I can't believe we don't have someone calling in with the answer to
Nobody yet, Mike. The phone lines are working, too. I don't know what the deal is.
Well, once again, folks, the question is, what was the date of the P-38's maiden flight? And if you think you know the answer, give us a call at 478-787-4768, Skype us at Warbird Radio, or email us at live at rcscalebuilder.com. We'd love to hear from you tonight, so shoot us an email.
We have a caller right now, it looks like.
Okay, well, let's see who it is. Caller, how are you tonight?
Fair to partly cloudy, but really cold.
Oh. I know who this is.
Hey, look. Don't give up your day job for a career in comedy, okay?
Oh, man.
Oh, no. No problem there. I won't. Hey, I was calling to find out where to get some of these man tires.
Man tires?
You like those?
Yeah.
You need some.
I keep hearing about them, and I got to find out where to get them.
Sounds like a personal problem, Dan, but go to mymantires.com. That'll get you right there to them. So there you go. There you go.
Cool.
we actually have another caller coming in, Mike, if you seriously. No kidding. So
okay.
Dan, we'll talk to you real soon, Dan. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
So we'll hang up with Dan here, and we'll get a hold of the other person who's now
Good evening, caller. You're on the air.
You there, caller?
Hello, caller.
Did I hang up on him? I might have hung up on him, Michael.
Caller, give us a call back. Yeah. Whoever just called in, we have
a minute left or so. You got time.
Yeah, you got time.
It began with an 8. The area code began with an 8. So, call back.
Hey, one other quick thing. Recommended site of the week is the UIUC Applied Aerodynamics webpage. This, if you want to know anything about airfoils or need an airfoil for a scale subject, this website has them listed, and that also will be posted in the episode thread under the show forum on rcscalebuilder.com.
You have a caller, Michael. You want to take the call?
Good evening, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, Mike. This is Denny.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, man. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. You think you know the answer to the trivia question tonight?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, why don't you tell us what it is?
Okay, January 27, 1939.
You are absolutely correct, sir. How about
Thank
that?
Very
you
much.
Just won, you just won two bottles of Zap Glue and an Aero Cinema preview CD. If you would, shoot me an email at to live at rcscalebuilder.com with your shipping address, and we'll get that out to you as soon as the mail starts running here in wonderful white Birmingham, Alabama.
All right, I will. Thank
with
you
all the snow and ice.
Mike, I want to take this other call real quick. While we, dadgummit, they just hung up. So, Denny, sorry about that, but 828 was the area code that actually called it, Mike, earlier. So
okay.
828. Anyway, we'll have to get something out. I'll send them an Aero Cinema DVD if they call back and leave a voicemail.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
if they send okay. you an email to info at, what is it, info at live?
No, it's live at rcscalebuilder.com.
I will make sure they get one, so my apologies.
Absolutely. No problem. Well, look, we're going to wrap it up, folks. That's another great show out of the way. I want to thank my guest, Graham Mears. What a nice guy, and really appreciate him coming on and telling us a bit about himself. We'll get him back again for more questions. We'll have a Q&A show with him. And, of course, thanks to Alan Yendel, and most of all, thanks to all of you for listening.
Thanks to you, Mike, for doing the show.
Well, hey, it's my pleasure. I do this for the hobby, and everybody remember to go out there and, spread the word about our hobby and do a little mentoring. But until next week, we'll check you then. But be sure and measure twice and cut once, and be sure and listen to lots of great programming here on Warbird Radio. Good night.